So just how good are the Delaware Blue Hens? With an undefeated conference season and only one loss to sixth-ranked Maryland, you'd think they would be considered for a 3 seed, if not a 2. If you're listening to this, then you know the Hens are led by 6'5" junior guard Elena Deladon. What can be said about her that already hasn't been said? The leading scorer in the country at over 28 points per game. She's also averaging over 10 rebounds per game and is shooting over 52% from the floor and 89% from the line. One of the big four that can be considered for National Player of the Year honors, Deladon is the leader of an underrated group of players that play within their abilities and will go into the NCAA tournament with a legitimate chance of breaking through to the later rounds. So as we continue our look at the best players in the country leading the best teams into their postseason tournaments, you know, the Delaware Blue Hens this year have been undefeated in conference play, and they are headed into the CAA tournament with revenge on their minds as they made it to the finals only to get knocked off last year by a very strong James Madison team. And the clear leader on this team joins me at this time, and I'm pleased to welcome back to Dishing and Swishing Elena Deladon. Elena, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Now, Elena, I saw you last year up at Yale, and the team that I saw last year and the team that I'm seeing this year are totally different. You guys have, with the additions of the transfers, and yeah, you're playing phenomenal ball. The Blue Hens has just been unbelievable this year.
Not only just with the additions of Akima Richards and Trumae Lucas, the two transfers, but we're a lot older this year, and we're much more experienced, and we've been lucky enough to stay healthy. And I think that's the biggest difference this season, is that we've all been able to play together in every single game, every single practice, and not have people in and out because of injuries or illnesses. And we've really been able to work on our chemistry on and off the court, and you know, we just play like a well-oiled machine this year.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really impressed me is, you know, people talk about how you're leading the nation in scoring, but it's not get the ball to Elena and get out of the way. I mean,
No. You're
doing this in the flow of the offense, and, you know, you're getting some great help. Lauren Kerr in particular has impressed me in the games that I've seen. She's certainly not afraid to take the big shot and has really, in my opinion, stepped up, you know, and been a big asset to you.
Yeah, it's all been in the flow of the offense, and I have a phenomenal supporting cast who step up to the plate every single game. You know, Lauren Corral will hit a big shot. Danielle Parker is always ripping down rebounds. So it's just a really, really good basketball squad, and we have a much more balanced attack this year. Obviously, I've been leading in the scoring, but it's all in the flow of the game, and it's not really forcing anything.
You know, as impressive as 28 points a game is, you know, probably to me the most impressive stat you have is the 52% field goal percentage and the 89% free throw percentage. I mean, that goes to show right there how everything is just going in the flow and it's not just chucking up shots.
Yeah, definitely. That would show that it's not really just forcing the issue. It's more of just doing it in the flow of the game and working with my teammates.
Now, the other thing that I'm noticing a lot more of when I watch this year is, you know, you going both high and low. And, you know, inside it gets nasty in there, but, you know, you seem to give as well as you can get, and you aren't afraid to go in there and get dirty too.
Yeah. Coach definitely likes to use my versatility as a player. Since I'm a 6'5 guard, basically, she likes to use me inside and out, and we see so many different defenses that, you know, we have to change it up. Sometimes the attack is better from outside, and then other times it's better to go inside. So it really depends on the defense we're facing and the team that we're facing. But Coach is really into using my versatility.
Well, one thing that's been impressive about that is, you know, you haven't exactly done this against chopped liver either. I mean, you've beaten Penn State, you've beaten St. Bonaventure, Princeton, and the one loss was an incredible game against Maryland with you and Alyssa Thomas really just going head-to-head and doing a great job in terms of scoring, that is. Do you get tired of hearing that you guys haven't done it against anybody, any competition?
I definitely get tired of hearing that. It's frustrating, and if you look at our schedule, you look at our RPI, it proves people wrong. So people really just kind of need to look at the facts before just saying, oh, it's Delaware, they're mid-major, and they don't play any competition because they're wrong.
You know, Charlie Cream, actually, in his latest bracketology, he has a whole article up today that talks about that, that says no two teams this year, but it talks about you and Green Bay and how difficult it is to evaluate where you should be seated. You know, to me, I don't see any real difficulty here. You're winning your games. You're beating everybody that's put in front of you. To me, that's a two seed.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially. But I don't know. I don't really know what they look into, and obviously I'm not an expert at that. But and I'm a little partial. But, of course, I would think we deserve that. But I don't know. We'll just see where we fall, and we're just going to have to go from there.
You know, one of the better teams in the conference this year was Hofstra. But, you know, I don't think they ever want to see you in a uniform again. 41-42 in two games against Hofstra. And,
yeah,
they have their own top 25 candidate towards the end of the year in Evans. And, you know, you just tore them up this year.
They play a very high-paced game, and you get a lot of offensive possessions against that team. And I definitely think that worked in our advantage and worked in my advantage also. And they also played more of a single coverage type of game instead of doing a junk defense or throwing double teams at me. So it's a little different than what I usually face day in and day out.
Well, you know, you have your 28 points we talked about a game. You also have lead the team with 69 blocks, and you're also over 10 rebounds a game. You know, what do you take the most pride in? What do you get the most satisfaction on? Is it making the big three, or is it blocking a shot? Or, you know, what gives you the biggest satisfaction personally?
The winning. You know, looking up at the scoreboard and seeing that we won is what gives me the biggest satisfaction. None of the other stuff really does.
Boy, you know, that's such a good answer.
Thanks.
It wasn't what I expected.
No, you weren't waiting. You weren't thinking that was coming.
This past summer, you played on the World University Games team that really was loaded with stars, and a lot of people said that you were one of the star among stars. Can you talk for a second about how that helped your game that coming into this year, just playing against that international competition and the extra confidence it gave you?
Yeah, it definitely gave me a lot of confidence coming into this season and seeing how well I was able to play out there with my phenomenal teammates. And I think we all elevated each other's games playing together. We were playing at an entirely different speed than anyone else. And we really all just made each other better playing with one another. And it was quite the confidence booster seeing how I stacked up against the other players and the top players in the country.
So you can't choose yourself. Who's the player of the year? Is it Brittany, is it Skylar, NECA?
I don't know. That's not up to me to decide. We'll just see.
Are there any teams?
They're all incredible players and do a lot of different things and have been leading their teams, so we will see what the experts do.
Any team or player that you really would like to face and think is going to be a good competition game for the NCAA tournament?
You know, not really. I just obviously want to win every game that we play, but I don't know. You know, whoever we end up drawing, it should be fun, and we're going to enjoy it and play our hardest, and the other team will also. So it's just going to be an exciting tournament.
Well, I tell you, I would love to see you going up against Brittany. That would be a great
match.
Yeah,
that's
great
your
matchup.
Pick.
See if you could take her outside and
yeah.
get her.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't even guard each other, but we'll see.
Oh, no, I would expect not. But no. You know, she does certainly influence a game on both ends of the court, though.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Elena, I want to wish you the best of luck in the CAA tournament. I mean, I'm looking forward to some great play down there. And, you know, James Madison is certainly not going to roll over, neither is Hofstra. There's a number of really good teams in the CAA that I think people don't give enough credit to.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Well, good luck the rest of the way, and let's hope for that number two seed, and we'll see you down the road pushing things into the Sweet 16 and further.
All right, thank you. Hi, I'm Elena Deladon, and you're listening. Dishing and swishing.
There may not be a sweeter story in NCAA women's basketball than that of Sugar Rogers of Georgetown. Rising up from a tough upbringing, minimal family life, and a difficult neighborhood, Rogers has really been a force at Georgetown, not only becoming the school career record holder in three-pointers made after only 3 years, but on the road to graduating timely. She doesn't get the credit from some of that she deserves because she's a high-volume shooter and doesn't have the greatest field goal percentage. But people don't seem to realize that she is the Hoyas' best shot at scoring points, and her shot totals give Georgetown their absolute best shot at winning. A midseason USBWA and Wade Watch List member, Rogers has the team number 12 in the AP poll, 14 in the coaches' poll, and the number 4 seed in the Big East tournament. She must be doing something right. Well, the East Coast snob in me has to point out to everybody that the Big East has some serious talent and some serious skills. And if you all haven't seen the Georgetown Hoyas, you're missing out on a defensive team that has a particular player that can really fill it up. And I'm talking to Sugar Rogers of the Georgetown Hoyas right now. Sugar, welcome to Dishin' and Swishin'. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Well, you know, the thing is, what people have to realize is, you know, Georgetown is sitting there at 22-7 for the season, but you guys didn't lose to any teams that weren't ranked.
Yeah, we just go out and play hard. Defense is our key to beating teams, and that's what we do, defense.
Well, the team has held everybody down. You're only giving up 52 points a game, and teams are only shooting 34% against you guys. So I think that really shows exactly what you're talking about, that it's all about the defense. But, you know, one thing that you can do more than anybody else on this team is fill it up, and that is particularly true. Love watching you in transition. You know, your favorite part of your game, the fast break?
I would say shooting a three or either getting to the basket is my favorite part, especially shooting a three in transition because most players don't stop and think to shoot the three on a transition break.
Well, people don't realize also that you have already, as a junior, taken over the career record for three-pointers made.
Yeah, I actually broke the record a couple games ago. I didn't know. So, that was pretty good.
And I also heard that you cost Coach a few bucks a couple days games ago at the Pink Zone game, which was also senior night, that she was going to put up some money for three-pointers made, and you nailed a couple, cost her something a little bit out of the paycheck.
Somewhat, especially last year during the Pink Zone game. I think I hit about 8 threes. This year I think I had like 4, but I think she needs to pay.
Well, it's certainly for a good cause, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You look at the numbers for this year, and three times you've been Player of the Week in the Big East. Now, that's something that just doesn't happen, you know, by accident. You know, you have been easily the dominant player on that team offensively.
It's hard being the dominant player. I'm not even going to lie. Just getting open, facing double teams, triple teams, boxing ones. I mean, every night is a work for me.
Yeah, that was exactly the question that I was going to ask you. Do you feel a lot of pressure this year? I mean, Monica McNutt did so much for the team last year and was a great leader. You know, do you feel more pressure this year, considering the team doesn't have someone like her to take over some of the leadership from you and also that can score as well?
Most definitely. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, just facing a box on one, could you imagine? Just somebody just all in your face, like, at all times, whether you're on offense or defense. But the boxing one, triple team, it doesn't bother me as much. I guess I'm just used to it, especially a little experience from last year. And the pressure is just there. I like it. I like pressure.
Well, pressure is something that you certainly know. You know, everybody is familiar with this point with the story of your upbringing and the fact that you had a tough time and, you know, your academic progress is something that I really wanted to make a point of saying. That's something, you know, that is something that you should really be proud of.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough growing up. I had to push myself at a young age. My mom passed away when I was 14, so I had a lot of struggle in life, which prepared me for technically the real world. So.
Well, this year you've managed to score double figures 27 out of 29 games, even with all that pressure on you and everybody playing the boxing ones and stuff, you know, the thing is that playing in the Big East and playing against the type of schedule that Coach books for you guys, you know, not only are you getting all this pressure against you, it's top players. This is not just, you know, you're playing against, you know, some weak school. You're getting doubled up by the UConns and the Notre Dames. You know, it's not easy out there.
It's not. At times it does get frustrating because you look for your team to, like, pick you up. And sometimes it don't happen. But most time it does. And if that's the most they can give, then I'm with it.
Now, congratulations also are in order because earlier today you were named one of the 32 midseason candidates for the Naismith Player of the Year. You're also on the U.S. Basketball Writer Association watch list. You're also on the Wade watch list. This is some big-time stuff, and yet, you know, how I keep hearing, you know, some of these other names for All-American, yet I'm not hearing the respect that Sugar Rogers deserves. Does that bother you sometimes?
Sometimes it does. I mean, it's frustrating because you have so much pressure, and still nobody, like, looks over here at Georgetown and see what we do. But, I mean, I just got to go out there and prove to people, not even just to people, just to prove myself that I'm just one of the top players in the country.
Well, we in the Big East certainly know about that, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the tournament this upcoming weekend. Do you enjoy playing in the tournaments? Is there anybody in particular in the tournament that you're looking forward to playing against? Do you like to play against any particular player or team?
I mean, I just like to play against the teams that we lost to early in the season. So if we lost, like, to Notre Dame, UConn, Louisville, like, those are the teams, like, I particularly want to see. Just because it's, like, payback. Like, oh, y'all beat us, but now we got to come out here and beat y'all. So, I mean, those are teams I look forward to playing.
Well, it looks like, based on the tournament seedings, it looks like it's probably going to be West Virginia first, and then you'll get that shot at Notre Dame.
True. So, I mean, we beat West Virginia, and it's going to be hard to beat them twice. We lost Notre Dame here at home, so that's going to be a challenge. We play them. They're the number one team in the conference. So it's like payback. They beat us, so we got to try to beat them. Can't let them beat us twice.
Well, Notre Dame's undefeated in Hartford now this year after winning Monday night. So they're going to be tough for everybody to beat in this tournament, that's for sure.
Well, they can be beat. West Virginia proved that they can be beat, so.
If you had a chance, what do you get the most pumped up about? Is it the big steal? Is it the big three? What's your favorite part of, you know, what gets you the most excited?
That's kind of funny because my teammates ask me the same question. I really don't get excited about nothing. I mean, it's just like some point in a game where I just get excited and want to play, like, to the extreme, but I usually don't get excited or hyped about nothing. I just go out there and play.
And play well, you certainly do. Well, Sugar, I want to wish you the best of luck in the Big East tournament and in all these conference awards coming up. I suspect, if nothing else, we know we're going to see on the all Big East teams, and I think that you're going to certainly merit that All-American discussion.
Thank you.
Well, we'll see you this weekend, and safe travels.
All right, thanks.
You too.
Hey, this is Becky Hammond of the San Antonio Silver Stars, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
It's hard to believe that the number 6 team in the AP and number 5 team in the coaches' poll is only the third seed in their own conference tournament. But that's the case with the Maryland Terrapins in the ACC. One upset loss to Virginia Tech is the difference, and that game was played without my next guest, first-team All-ACC performer Alyssa Thomas. Only a sophomore, Thomas has become one of the best forwards in the country already, averaging over 16 points and 7 rebounds per game on a balanced Maryland team. She scored at least 20 points 11 times this season while playing the most difficult schedule in the ACC. It will certainly be fun to watch what Thomas does in this postseason.
Well, one person who definitely deserves to be in the discussion of game changers, game influencers, one of the best players in the ACC and really one of the best players in the country, and she's only a sophomore. Alyssa Thomas of Maryland joins me now. Alyssa, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. So, yeah, knocked off North Carolina yesterday, and now we're in the home stretch. You know, one question I got to ask you is, you know, you look at the resume of Maryland this year, and does it still kill you that that Virginia Tech game is that one loss that stands out as kind of being different than everything else?
Definitely. We slipped up against them, but with our resume, we've had a lot of tough games that we pulled out.
That's for sure. You definitely did, and you've definitely been the leader on this team, one of the leaders on the team. You know, last year, you know, Coach Freeze described you as being, you know, a quiet leader whose game spoke loudly. Well, your game's screaming this year. So what is it that you enjoy on the court most of all? I mean, you're a great scorer, great rebounder, and, you know, great shot blocker and passer too. So are you one of those that gets more satisfaction out of a shot block or a great pass, or is just lighting it up where you really have the best time?
Just being out there. I just love the game and try to do whatever it takes to get a win out there.
Well, your team has improved in every facet this year, and, you know, a lot of players have really developed and continue to grow. But, you know, your stats are still even better this year than last year. You know, how much time did you put in the off season getting ready for this year, and, you know, what's been a difference for you this year?
I put a lot of work in the off season. One of the things that Coach Freeze wanted me to work on was my range and trying to get a 3-point shot. So I've really been focusing on that.
So how exciting was it to make that first one after not making any last year?
I was pretty excited, especially with us them moving the 3-point line back.
Well, one play that I want you to talk us through here is talk about that block shot against Duke that put you in the Sports Center top 10 the same time as your brother.
There was 10.5 seconds left, and we knew that they would try to get Gray a look at the basket, so we really tried to make sure she didn't have an open look, and our post player helped out on her, which left Williams wide open, so I kind of doubled over to help. And then I saw the ball start moving pretty quickly around the perimeter, and I saw that Peters, who I was guarding, was wide open. So I kind of made a sprint at her to try to get out there and contest the shot and was able to get my hand on the ball.
Okay, so now Peters, you were supposed to be guarding. So, you know, everybody made a big deal about this shot block, and rightly so. It was a tremendous play. But were you supposed to be out there?
I was. That's who I was guarding at the time. But I was in help side, and I saw that my player was about to get the ball, so I had to bust it back over there.
Yeah, you know, for some reason, I think that Coach didn't mind that you had fallen off there when you the way you got back.
Yeah, definitely.
So now you're going to head into the ACC tournament, and it's really so competitive. I mean, you look at the resume that Maryland has, and then you realize that you guys are going to be sitting in third place in the conference for seedings. I mean, that tells you a lot about how good this conference is.
It does. We definitely had one of the toughest schedules in conference play, and we did pretty well with what we were given, and the seedings are playing out pretty well, and we know that it's going to be a tough tournament.
So, now, do you look forward to the conference tournament, or are you just already looking ahead, you know, in your eyes, you know, let's get on to the big tournament and let's move on to the NCAAs?
No, I'm definitely looking forward to the conference tournament, especially with getting knocked out so early last year. We're looking to redeem ourselves.
Now, you're a sophomore, and, I mean, there's an impressive group of sophomores in that conference alone. So, I mean, do you enjoy getting together with everybody at the tournament and catching up on some things? I mean, you guys are all friends from, you know, all the high school tournaments and everything over the years.
Definitely. Whenever you get a chance to just hang out with people that you've been around for a while, it's always great to see them and catch up.
Well, you know, you're three times player of the week, you know, Wooden Award, Naismith, you know, list, Wade list, you know, so I think that, you know, you've got a legitimate shot there at ACC Player of the Year amongst with a few others. You know, what would that kind of honor mean to you as only a sophomore?
It would be a huge honor, especially knowing the type of players that are in our conference. And if I was able to get that, I would be very honored.
Well, you know, you're one of the few players in this conference that's actually seen one of the other great players in the country. You guys had that Christmas holiday matchup there with Delaware, which was a tremendous game. How was it being matched up with Deladon, and how was that game?
I've grown up watching her play, and to get a chance to play against her in college was a great experience, knowing the type of player that she is and just how great of a player she is.
So, yeah, I mean, you played 40 minutes that night, put up 23 points and 9 rebounds on 10 for 18 shooting. Yeah, and you made a three-pointer that game. So, I mean, you had a great game in your own right there.
That's right.
So as you head towards the postseason, is there anybody in particular that you want to play, anybody that you look forward to? Are you the type that looks forward to particular matchups, or do you just want to keep rolling along and doing well as a team?
I think we just take it one game at a time, and whoever that opponent is that we get matched up with, we try to give our best against them.
And you want to get Virginia Tech, I got a feeling.
Most definitely, being that I didn't get a chance to play against them.
Exactly. I mean, I have a feeling that your presence in there might have made a little bit of a difference.
Possibly.
Well, you're healthy, everything's feeling good, and the team is looking good. As you head into this now, no major issues, no major injuries.
No, everybody's doing really well. Everybody's healthy, so we're looking good for the tournament.
Well, I want to wish you the best of luck the rest of the way. You know, it's always exciting as you get near tournament time. And, you know, I'm loving watching your game, and I'm so impressed with the development that you've had, even just from, you know, the great success you had last year to the way you're playing this year. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for taking time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Muffa McGraw, head coach of the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Skylar Diggins exploded on the social media scene during last year's NCAA tournament. The South Bend native has thrived at Notre Dame, and is the primary reason the Irish are number 3 in the country, winners of the Big East regular season title, and perhaps the best threat to knock off Baylor in the NCAA tournament. Diggins leads the Irish in scoring at 17-plus per game, but even though she's a point guard, she's hitting 52% of her shots. A finalist for the Lieberman Award, she has an impressive 2.26-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. As the Irish make their way through the difficult Big East tournament and also the NCAAs, you'll see why this junior is also a candidate for National Player of the Year and is sure to be a first-team All-American. When we're talking about the game changers that are going to influence this year's NCAA tournament, you know, there is one person that definitely fits that mold, and I am very happy to have Skylar Diggins of Notre Dame back with me on Dishin' and Swishin'. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. One of the most knowledgeable people in college basketball today. Always a pleasure to talk to. Sky, now, first let's talk about what winning the Big East championship meant for you in terms of Coach McGraw and achieving that first goal of the season.
I think it means a lot to our program and coach, and it's great for us bringing it back here, and it's never been done before, so it's just another thing she could check off on her list on our Hall of Fame. You know, a great career that she's had.
Well, now you're heading into Hartford as the number one seed in the tournament and a guaranteed number one seed also headed into the Big Dance. Now, is this a situation where you guys sat down at the start of the season and said, okay, step one, win the Big East, step two, the tournament, and then step three, now it's this time we're going to win the national title?
I think that we definitely had goals for our team, and we sat down and talked about some of them, and, you know, those three each were on it. And I think we've done a great job of handling each game one game at a time. And, you know, this is the start of the third season going into the Big East tournament and into the NCAA tournament. So right now, you know, we're only guaranteed two games.
Well, I'll tell you, the one nice thing that it's going to be nice putting on white jerseys, isn't it, in Hartford?
For once.
Well, no, definitely this is definitely the year of Notre Dame, and the team has been phenomenal. And, you know, it's just so impressive to watch the way that you let the game play out and then you take it over when you need to.
I try my best, and I feed off my teammates. And, you know, we all understand, you know, time and score situation, and I try to do a better job of game management this year. And, you know, I'm learning more, and I'm becoming more experienced, and, you know, I understand what plays to go to, you know, what players like what. And as I learn my teammates and things like that, I understand the right time to take over, attack, and with people that look to score like my teammates do, it's easy to play off of each other.
Well, when I talked to Natalie earlier this year, we talked about the fact that, you know, she's very content to let you be the rock star in the group, and she'll sit there and be the background singer and just let you have all that publicity. How do you juggle, you know, all the social media attention and everything else and still stay so grounded?
It's about my teammates in Notre Dame, and I never try to make it about myself. And, you know, I can't control what people write and things like that, but I can't control my focus and my commitment to the team, and I always try to do my best to put them first and things like that, and to always mention my teammates who a lot of them are underrated, and including Natalie. So I think it's great that, you know, I have a great group around me who keeps me grounded, and I have a lot of help.
Can you talk for a second about that World University Games team and playing with NECA and Elena and all the your teammates and everybody that was on there, and how much influence that had on this season? Because it really seemed like you guys hit the ground running, all three of you, you know, Devereaux, Natalie, and yourself.
It was a great team to be a part of. The girls were cool, and they were all great players, and all their teams are doing well. When you look at a player like Elena Delladone, what she's done for the University of Delaware and her team is great, and the same with Chinee and Neko Ogumike. What they're doing is amazing, and you know, you play with players like Odyssey Sims, who's another great point guard leading the team that's number one right now, and you know, and then we had the opportunity to play with each other and continue playing with each other, and I think that gives us more in-game experience with each other. So it was just a great experience all around, and when you have great coaches like Coach Bill Finley and Susie McConnessario, who was Olympic champion and, you know, a former Big East coach, and Terry Flournoy, I think is great.
And the final thing to ask you is, now, the big four of you, there's you, Brittany, Elena, Necker talking for Player of the Year honors. You can't choose yourself. Who's your choice?
I would have to choose Brittany Griner. The things that she's done for the women's game is amazing, and her ability to just keep getting better every year amazes me. She always adds something to her repertoire. You know, she's become more physical, the way she transformed her body. I think she's doing great things. She's great for our game, so.
Appreciate you squeezing me in a busy time, and good luck in Hartford, and good luck in the NCAA tournament.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me on the show.
Looking forward to seeing you again this weekend.
All right.
Brittany Griner, the Longboarder and Block Soccer, and you're listening to Dish and Swish.
Princeton. Yes, the Ivy League Princeton Tigers have been one of the great stories this year in women's basketball, and the Tigers are the first team to qualify for the NCAA tournament. The Tigers are led by Naveen Rashid, who was named to the midseason U.S. Basketball Writers Association Player of the Year watch list. Last season, Rashid suffered a season-ending ACL injury prior to the start of conference play, and she wasn't cleared to play until October. She hasn't missed a beat, though, scoring in double figures in 23 of 25 games while averaging 16.9 points and 9.0 rebounds per game. An AAU teammate of Duke's Chelsea Gray, Rashid has the Tigers poised to be the first Ivy League team to crack the top 25 polls. We are looking at some of the difference makers and game changers throughout the nation on various NCAA women's basketball teams as we get ready for the tournament. And the first team to qualify for the big dance was the Princeton Tigers out of the Ivy League. And they are a far better team than a lot of you realize, as they are knocking on the door of the top 25, and actually I think should have even been in the top 25 this week. They are 1 point out of the AP rankings. They will be the first Ivy League team to qualify when my guess is that they make it next week. And I'm joined by the leader of the Princeton Tigers, Naveen Rashid. How are you today?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
Well, first, let's talk about Ivy League basketball and the success that the Princeton Tigers are having. You guys are on quite a run.
Yeah, it's been a great season so far, and hopefully we finish off league play strong and get us ready for the tournament.
Well, you guys are sitting right now. You've only got four losses, you know, another 20-win season for the team. And those losses, you kind of got that one little beep in Navy. But other than that, you know, the three losses are to Delaware, DePaul, and Stanford. You know, those are top 25 high-quality opponents.
Yeah, definitely. Our coaches challenged us this year and gave us a schedule that we've been wanting for the past couple of years. And I think we did pretty well against those teams. I'm sure we wanted to knock one off, but I think we held our ground and we grew each game after that.
Well, you know, you've had quite a season. And now, first of all, people don't realize, you know, that you're coming back from a big injury last year.
Yeah, I tore my ACL midseason last year, missed all Ivy League, and wasn't cleared to play fully until October.
Well, but you sure hit the ground running. I mean, for somebody that wasn't cleared until October, I mean, you've got a season going on here where, you know, for out of 25 games, you've scored in double figures 23 of those 25 games.
Yeah, I definitely, once the season, my season-ending injury happened, I made it my mission to come back stronger and to not make it really hold me back, but actually grow from it and become a better player and better person from it. But I definitely made it my goal and my job, rehabbing and getting better, and it was definitely paying off for it now.
Well, your numbers are fantastic. You know, you're just under 17 points a game, and also just under 10 rebounds a game, and almost three assists per game. So, you know, you do it all. But since Princeton isn't exactly ESPN territory for the most part, could you tell people about your game, what you like to do, and where they'll see you on the court in the tournament?
Definitely. I am playing guard, and I play forward sometimes. I'm more of a slasher, kind of like to – I really love running in transition, and I like the fast-paced game. Our offense is kind of just motion, standard motion offense, where we like to just go off ball screens and really attack the basket and look to push the pace, and a lot of our offense comes from our defense. So Princeton offense kind of just fits the way I like to play a lot, and a lot of my teammates are all kind of play the same way. So it's just a really good cohesive unit that works well together.
Well, you got a bunch of people that get a lot of minutes on the court. You know, your coach runs a bunch of people in and out. You've got about nine players that all get at least 11 minutes a game. Lauren Edwards is probably the most notable name amongst the others. Can you talk a little bit about She's the three-point threat on the team.
Yeah, she definitely is. Just like yesterday during practice, we were doing a scrimmage, and she shot, I think, 9 for 10 during the scrimmage and had, like, 30 points within 5 minutes. It was just amazing. It just really shows our depth of our team. We have good players that come off the bench and bring a great spark. We have our starters just come in and start the game off well, and if we don't, we have someone on the bench that would definitely pick up the slack. But it just really amazing play for a team that you can find everyone else accountable, and you don't have to feel like you have this huge load on yourself to carry the team when you have great players that just do their jobs and everyone does their job well, so you don't have to do all those little things. So you don't have to exert your energy on hoping someone else will do their job, where you have everyone kind of filling the role and everyone really working well together, and everyone has the same goal, and all work hard every day in practice. So definitely our co-captain, Lauren Edwards, is a huge part of our success. Her class is the first class that kind of catapulted Princeton basketball to be where it is now, and my class followed and just followed their footsteps.
Well, the team's scoring about 72 points a game, but you were mentioning the defensive end, and that's really impressive, the numbers. As you're holding your opponents to 35% shooting from the floor and only 53 points a game. So it's clear that Coach certainly has you working hard on that end of the, on the floor of, as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of our games, we have kind of sometimes we notice we have a slow start, or if we have a kind of funk shooting day, we'd always count on our defense. And with a lot of teams, defense is actually what produces a lot of our offense. So when we're having those kind of days, it's nice to bank on our defense, and we know that our defense will be there all the time and every day. So definitely something we stress a lot in practice, and something that if it's not going well, she'll get on us for that, definitely as quick as possible. But we kind of hold ourselves accountable for our defense.
You've been Ivy League Player of the Week 4 times. The first time that that's been done, I believe, in Princeton history. And how cool was the feeling when you found out that you were put on the midseason Player of the Year watch list by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association?
I was very kind of shocked by it. Definitely didn't expect that, but it's awesome. It just puts Princeton's name out there even more, which I really like. And I'm just trying to do my job as making our team as best as we can, and I truly want to win. So whatever I'm doing to help my team and getting Princeton's name out there to the nation is definitely a bonus.
One of the stranger things about the Ivy League schedule that I don't know if people realize is you've got that break in the middle of the winter. Can you tell our listeners about what that's how that works, and how difficult is it to come back?
Yeah, definitely. Well, being a student athlete, of course, our finals come first. So we have a 3-week break of no games, which are kind of daunting because we're the only ones on campus, and all we do is practice. Sometimes we have a double day, but we don't have that very much often this year. But, we just practice with each other for 3 weeks and kind of have no game to work towards, but just to get ourselves better. But it's definitely a nice break. I actually like it because it's a break kind of to reevaluate your season and reevaluate the situation that's going on and take a step back and do our strengths and weaknesses and what we need to work on. And it's a nice little break to kind of come together and get stronger and have those 3 weeks to really work on stuff. But it kind of gets boring after a while when you're playing against the same players every day in, day out. But our coach kind of breaks it up and makes it competitive by bringing in boys and getting us to work towards something.
And I'll bet it's more enjoyable since you're winning. I mean,
yeah, definitely. I remember
the team was struggling.
Yeah, I don't think those practices would involve balls very much if we were not winning. But, definitely our first game back was a little rusty. I think we played Brown and had a really rough shooting and just overall weird night. But, that's expected by not playing the game and being just overly excited.
How much time, you always know about the study halls and the strict schedules that you guys have to keep in order to meet the academic requirements. That's for any student-athlete. When you factor in the Ivy League and the extra workload that goes with that type of program, how much time do you have to juggle between strict study halls and getting your work done and still having the basketball and having a life?
Well, with Princeton, we actually don't have any team mandatory study halls or any tutors or anything like that. It's kind of you're responsible for yourself, and if you need help, you ask for help, but you have to just really be responsible and hold yourself accountable. No one else is in charge of your schedule but yourself. No one else is looking at what work is due but yourself. So it's basically what you make of it. If you get into this kind of system that your upperclassmen teach you how to just balance both, and the system is something you just come to know at Princeton, and you just adopt it, and you just follow it for the next 4 years. But, it's kind of, you have to really crack down and get into, you can't just put things off because, in Princeton, if you don't get something, you don't really see your grades until midterm. So if you didn't get something until midterm, and then you get something bad on your midterm, you kind of have a little short margin to make it up for. So you need to stay up on top of your stuff pretty quickly. And a lot of it is just, self-accountability and making sure you get your work done yourself.
Now, you were saying before we actually started this that you played with one of the other people that is a strong candidate for All-American honors that is appearing on our show this week. And that
Chelsea Gray, and I go way back playing AAU back in the day.
So she would feed you and set you up, or would she
dominate the ball herself.
Oh, definitely. She'll do her nice fancy moves as a sixth grader, and definitely played well together. I think so.
Well, Princeton is currently listed in the current bracketology as a 10 seed. Now, when you look at the tournament and you think about playing those teams, is there anybody in particular that you see that you really would like to play, any team or any player that you'd love to go against?
I mean, I think it's projected us to play against Rutgers, and I'd love to play against Rutgers. We actually play them every year, and I don't know why we didn't play them this year. So it'd be a nice make up for not playing them in the preseason to get together.
Battle of the Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Battle of the Jersey. I think every year we played them, got a little closer. Last year we lost on a buzzer beater by one at their place, so it'd be a nice little redemption thing.
Well, Naveen, I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come on and talk to me for a while. And I want to wish you the best of luck the rest of the way, and good luck in the tournament.
Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
You too.
This is Matthew Mitchell, head coach at the University of Kentucky, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.